Diary, July 1895. July 1895. I left Granville for Currumbong. I labored with deep interest for those who attended the manual labor training school, working on the grounds a portion of the day, and then entering into study a portion of the day. I spoke 11 times, twice on Sabbath, to a room full as possible with people. Some not of our faith were present. I was not able to write, but I could speak, and the Lord blessed those who heard and the speaker. Elder Daniels came from Queensland, and we were about to go to the cars en route for Granville. We delayed until Wednesday morning. We returned to Granville to prepare for moving our family to this place. Currumbong, New South Wales, Tuesday, July 1, 1895. Emily Campbell and I left Granville on morning train for Currumbong. There was no smoking in the compartment we occupied, but in the compartments adjoining us, there was smoking constantly. The air carried the tobacco poison directly into the compartment we occupied. I had not strength sufficient to dare venture this ride of 2.5 hours in such an atmosphere. The seats were occupied, and the partition between our compartments did not reach to the top, so those in the next compartment gave us the benefit of their tobacco smoke, which is poison to me. Thus, some things we have to endure in traveling. Currumbong, New South Wales, Tuesday, July 16, 1895. I have now been in Currumbong 2 weeks last Monday. I spoke Sabbath to the brethren and sisters. 20 of our brethren are working in the industrial manual labor department, and thus far it has been a success. I have spoken to the people assembled twice on 2 successive Sabbaths, and in the early morning meetings for 1 week. Rising at 5 o'clock, I walked by moonlight across the paddocks to the school building. Meetings commenced at 6 o'clock a.m. Then Brother Lacey came from Tasmania and moved his goods into the home, and we moved. May and the children and Willie and I intended to return to Granville Sunday, but Willie decided he could not leave yet, and May and the children returned. I came to the school building, rented hotel in Currumbong, Friday, and spoke every morning to those who are employed in the industrial labor. I have spoken 11 times in all, and twice on Sabbath. I came here for rest. Up to last Sunday, I was overworked, unable to use my mind in writing. I suffered much in my forehead and the front part of my head, with a sensation as if ice was laid upon it. I have been on the ground, and I have purchased me 40 acres of land. The first lots sold have been to me. The reason I purchase now is that I may furnish money which they need so much just now. This land business has required much of my time and attention. I have had counsel with my brethren in regard to location of school buildings. We have had several councils. Last Sabbath, a church was organized. Elders and deacons were chosen and ordained. There were 2. We have the large dining room crowded to the utmost capacity. Those not of our faith come to Sabbath school and to our preaching services. The Lord blessed me in speaking to the people Sunday morning. I was feeling better and was free to write some things that have been urging themselves upon my mind. I know the Lord is presenting to me things in regard to the management of the school to be established in Currumbong. I am instructed that it is none too far from the cities. In the night season, after the close of the Sabbath, I seemed to be in a meeting where a company of teachers were assembled. We were all deeply interested, and a controversy was being carried on in regard to the school to be established in Currumbong. I was relating the experience God had given us, my husband and myself, in Battle Creek, in reference to the principles to be ever preserved in the line of education. We were not to make any school that was in existence our criterion. The education of youth was a solemn, serious matter. There were many things said, and some things I knew to be of very deep importance. There were men who were employed to educate the youth, who were entertaining perverted ideas of what constitutes true education. These men had, themselves, been drilled in a certain routine and had studied certain books and honestly considered they must conduct the students coming to our school over the same ground they themselves had traveled over. This, we knew, had been urged in Melbourne, and therefore we must come to an understanding. We were to consult together, but the light the Lord had given must be respected. Granville, New South Wales, Thursday, July 25th, 1895.
Sister Davis, May Lacey White, Ella May and Mabel White, and I rode out to Prospect to secure oranges and to visit Brother Thompson. He has a large family, but although a first-class carpenter, he has not, in these hard times, obtained work. We visited the family and offered Brother Thompson work on the Avondale tract of land at Currumbong, paying him 6 shillings per day. He gladly accepted the situation. We found Sister Thompson in bed with a 2 days-old child by her side. Both Brother Thompson and his wife were full of thankfulness for her safe deliverance and for her living so well under the trying ordeal. The whole of our company had to see the new babe. They have 9 children, and in the providence of God, when they knew not what to do for food or clothing, an opportunity was offered them to take 5 children to care for. Their mother had recently died, and their father wished his children to be out of the city. He pays 6 shillings per week each for their board. This brought them relief, so they were much better off. We took our lunch out of doors close by the house, and we all enjoyed the repast, for we were hungry. After feeding our horse Maggie, we had a short time of visiting with the sick, talking in regard to their children. We prayed with them, offering thanksgiving to God in behalf of Sister Thompson's safe delivery. Left 1 pound in Brother Thompson's hand, and were in the carriage on our way to Granville. We picked from the trees of Brother Blank 1 bushel of oranges, paid 62 cents for them. Cheap enough. Granville, New South Wales, Friday, July 26th, 1895. I felt all day that I must go to visit Brother McCann's family. He can get no work and has a large family of children. I excused myself, for I was far from feeling well. I was much exhausted. But I dared not be indifferent to the impressions upon me. I bade the horse to be harnessed and notified Emily we must go 4 miles in the country to see this family. While the horse was being harnessed, Sister McCann walked into the house. She had walked 4 miles to see us. I talked with her, and she wept, saying she would do our washing, do anything to earn a little money. Her 2 youngest children had not attended school for 2 months because they had no shoes. Her oldest son is a man grown, but, although he does a man's work, receives only 7 shillings per week. The second lad, 6 shillings per week. This is all they have, except as the father can get a little job occasionally. I put in her hand 7 shillings, which was all I had in my purse, besides a 6 pence, and gave it to her. I then gave her a new dress pattern for herself and one of the children, for which I had paid 6 shillings. I have purchased many yards of goods to clothe the naked. I put them up rice, 4 quarts of milk, and various provisions, and then we were all seated in the carriage that conveyed her to her home. She seemed very grateful. We are trying to help in every way possible. There were needy, from the failure of the banks, has brought great distress. but I am circulating around and helping all I see in distress. Our means are very limited, but I hire money to supply the necessities. July C. White, May Lacey White, Ella May and Mabel White, and I stepped on board the cars for Currumbong. I went from Granville very much troubled with my head. There, I roughed it, looking for a place to build us a home. One week, I was unable to do writing, except a few letters to my family at home in America. I spoke Sabbath in the long dining hall to a full house. Several, not of our faith, were present. They are interested in the truth. The Lord gave me much freedom. Every morning but one, I walked across the paddocks by moonlight at 5:30, and we enjoyed much the privilege of speaking to 26 young men and 3 women. We had several testimony meetings. Excellent testimonies were born. The Lord gave me great freedom and power in prayer. I had a testimony from God to all present, teachers and students. I was much blessed of the Lord as I spoke the words given me of God to the students. I had hardly room to stand. I commenced my writing Sunday morning. There was such fire in my room, no place for a fire. I dressed as if going out to ride, for the nights and mornings were very cold. I wrote with my gloves on my hands. Then, at 5:30, was on my way for the meeting. I spoke to the students 10 mornings and to the whole church 2. These morning meetings are a great blessing. Through the day I rode out to the school land, or to look at the place we had selected for the establishing of our school. We are pleased with the outlook. We were trying to find a home, a house, hoping to find a place we could rent and I be made comfortable for some weeks. But there was no opening, and we returned to Granville. But we received much satisfaction. Brother Daniels came upon the ground, returning from his mission to Queensland. He left the cars at Morissette to meet us at Currumbong. We were gratified to hear his expressed pleasure of what had been done upon the land. He had opportunity to see all the students at work with earnest effort, which pleased us. Brother Rousseau and others had decided that after certain weeks' labor on the land, the students should have a vacation. The matter was presented, but the testimony of the students was that they could not consent, for they were improving in ability to retain their lessons, and they wished to advance in their studies more fully through the plan of working certain hours in manual labor and then having their certain hours for study. As but a few of these students could pay their way to give their whole time to study, they considered it a great privilege to work a portion of the day, and thus have the benefit of physical exercise, help pay their board and tuition, and every day be gaining knowledge in books and knowledge in Bible study. The morning hours from 6 until 7:15 were given to the Bible lessons. All worked hard through the day under Brother Rousseau, Brother Metcalf Hare, and Brother Lawrence. A meeting was held to ascertain the wishes of the students and what they would do at the close of this period of education and training in manual labor. All expressed themselves as well pleased with the first term of school and would prefer to have the school not break up now, but continue through the vacation. The decision, unanimous and decisive, was made accordingly. An experiment has been made in uniting manual labor and these working hours as a part of the education of the students. All who have entered into this combination pronounce it a success and a satisfactory plan. After the period of trial, I was much pleased to hear from the lips of Brother Rousseau that whereas he had been very doubtful in regard to this location of the school, he would say that from the experience of the practical working of the land and all things combined, he was well satisfied for himself that the Lord had been leading us to this place as the best place, all considered, for the location of our school. The higher-priced lands we were unable to touch because there was not money in our hands to invest in large-priced lands,
and the small sum paid for this land made it possible to secure a large tract which would give work to the very men and students who needed work. He decided that there were rare facilities in some things connected with this land that the many other lands they had inspected did not give. This was a great relief to me. The workers on the land are all healthy and are convinced that manual education combined with study is a success. It has been proved, and all are pleased. There will be no more time spent in searching for greater advantages for locating our school. We left Kurenbong to make our plans of settlement. Sunday, we had a very important committee meeting in Brother Corliss's house. Many plans were considered in reference to camp meetings, their time and where they should be held, and the work in Sydney and its suburbs. The place for building meeting house had been selected in Ashfield. As to the financial probabilities, we must walk by faith and not by sight, for the means are limited. Sabbath, July 20th. W.C. White and I visited Kellyville and spoke to the church there. This Sabbath, July 27th, W.C. White and I attended the meeting in Parramatta. I spoke to the church, and then we had a testimony meeting, which was a benefit to all present. This morning I awoke at 3 a.m. and prepared for my writing. Granville, New South Wales, Monday, July 29th, 1895. Brethren Hare and Rousseau, Willie C. White, and I started with my horse and carriage upon an expedition to find where we could obtain reliable information as to the best place to purchase fruit trees for the Avondale tract of land. We went 12 miles to Castle Hill, to Brethren Whiteman's and Radley's. We hoped that we might, by showing an interest in their business, secure them, or rather win them back to the truth. They are men of intelligence, but under the pressure of poverty and temptation, Brother Whiteman was losing his grasp of the truth. He could get nothing to do. The bank's closing placed him in a hard, trying spot, and the pressure of poverty for parents and children discouraged them.
Radley never was converted. He received the truth, but partially, and decided to please his neighbors by giving up the truth. But he has a very beautiful fruit orchard. It is a picture of loveliness. There are oranges, mandarins, and a variety of fruits in their season. But the golden fruit, now hanging on the trees, makes a beautiful picture. We always go prepared with our lunch. We halted in a beautiful paddock just opposite their house and refreshed ourselves with simple but nourishing food. We enjoyed our refreshment, for we were all hungry. We then called upon Brother Radley and family. His wife has not let go the truth, but holds it yet. They have 4 girls and 2 boys. The eldest is 13 years old. While the men were talking with him, gaining what information they could from Brother Radley as to how to plant and cultivate the fruit trees, I was in the cottage visiting the wife and children. 3 months before, I had brought them Patriarchs and Prophets, and he promised to read it. He had just that day finished the last page and said it was a grand book. He accepted every word written. He believed it, he said. I had sent them Steps to Christ and Christian Education. I had now brought copies of Review and Herald, Signs of the Times, Sabbath School Worker, and Medical Missionary to leave with them. I then read to Sister Radley and children letters I had received from Edson White in the Southern Field. This interested the parents and the children. I had the steamer picture on the letterhead, which I showed to them, and it interested them. And when I read in regard to the experience in the storm while the Morning Star was attached to the large steamer, there were tears in the eyes of mother and children. We all assembled in the larger room, dining room, and Willie read an appropriate scripture concerning the treasure hid in the field. We then bowed in prayer. Willie prayed, and I followed. I know the Spirit of the Lord was present. All our hearts were touched. Brother Radley said, Wait a minute. And he went out and gathered about a bushel of fine oranges from the trees and put them in the wagon. This, he said, is for the books you kindly gave me. Granville, New South Wales, Tuesday, July 30th, 1895. I thank my heavenly Father I have slept until 3 o'clock. After asking the Lord to lead and guide me by His Holy Spirit through the day, and committing the keeping of my soul to Him, at 5 o'clock a.m., I commenced my writing. Yesterday was a broken-up day. Our cow is strayed or stolen. There is no feed to entice her into green pastures, and she has her provender every day. Someone must have taken possession of her, for she is generally regular and faithful as the clock. The young men working for Willie must go on horseback to hunt for her. Emily and I take the cars for Blank to see Byron Belden. His father needs some things. Must furnish money to get plow, stovepipe, and a variety of things. The boats going to Norfolk Island are months between, and the boat must not pass and carry nothing. I went into Sydney to see if I could find anything for the poor families, cheap. Money is so scarce, we hardly know what to do and which way to turn to supply the demands in a variety of lines. The calamity of failure of banks has been, and still will be, keenly felt. We watch our chances where goods are offered for half price, and purchase most excellent material to give to those who cannot buy that which they need. We are oft distressed at the sight of our eyes. I never have seen anything like it. Granville, New South Wales, Wednesday, July 31st, 1895. All day, W.C. White, Emily, and I spent in Sydney purchasing the things essential for our use in camp life. We thought it wisdom to select an outfit of granite where that will bear transporting and handling. We were favored in obtaining quite an assortment for a much less sum than we thought we must pay. We find favors where we least expected to find them. Of course, we do not expect to have things as in America, but we are thankful if we can recover health to do the will of the Lord.